There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Beskar Dave.
And I'm Steve, and today we're talking about episode 8 of season 1 of Andor, titled Darkina 5, written by Bo Willem and directed by Toby Haynes.
Well, I liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Andor can be a slow burn. It has such great character development and such great acting behind those characters, and you get to see, you know, new worlds like that prison,
right?
How things operate in them and how they communicate with each other. And I'm like, it's all very cool. A lot of times with these shows, we're spoiled, but a lack of action.
Right.
And that's the thing with like Marvel. Sometimes it's too much action. You really have to tell a story first and let it sink in because you know it's going to happen.
Right.
And I've been thinking recently how there's two halves of the season, and the first half was all about the mission, right?
Right.
And the second half is going to be all about the escape.
Right.
You know, he gets out.
Yeah,
you
got to.
Yeah, we know about Apollo 13 return and the Titanic sunk, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah,
or we'll get out of there.
Yeah, spoiler alert is how. You know, it reminded me a little bit of the fate of future Darth Vader. What was his name? His, before he got crazy.
Anakin Skywalker.
And, yes, thank you. Sorry, Anakin. I know what you're going to do to me now.
Yeah.
He lost his mother and said, well, okay. So I'm trying to figure out what really is going to make Cassian join the rebels. Because couldn't drag his mother, quotations, and he actually did run off to a beach planet, whatever it
right.
was. Yeah, so he's willing to shed it all. So what's going to bring him back? It can't be just a prison break. Somebody's going to sacrifice himself. You know, it could be Bell. And or Cinta, but I fear for, what is it? Her name's Marva, right? His mother?
Yeah, yeah.
And
Marva's going to be the one who,
yeah.
Once he gets out, he'll find out that Marva got killed and he'll be all in.
Yeah, Marva and or Bix.
Right.
They're both in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, we know Bix is in real trouble. She's been captured.
Yes.
And Marva, she's like hurting herself just trying to keep sewers open.
Right.
Wow.
All right, here's this week's episode recap. While lying low, Cassian is swept up in an Imperial crackdown with little more than a false identity as protection. The Empire are unaware of his true past, but send him to Tol in a high-security prison. Meanwhile, the Imperial Security Bureau continues to piece together intelligence on acts of sedition.
You know what you'd think with an authoritarian society like the Imperial?
Right.
Everyone would be forced to carry a card.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they would know who he was immediately or not, or who he wasn't.
Right.
I don't know how. It's a lot of work to get everyone an ID card, but all you do is have the communities or the counties or whatever substitutes for that, local government, and then the planet. Make sure you ever get one. And it's somebody else's job to make sure all the planets do it. So definitely doable.
Yeah, and they've got the picture of Cassian. So
yeah, I know.
Just run it through the database. Everything.
Absolutely. That's how law enforcement works here.
Yes, it is.
So naturally, we're diving straight into the Empire's prison industrial system. As soon as we pick up on Cassian, he's transported to Narkina 5, along with other prisoners who may or not have been wrongfully accused, to show what might the might of P-O-R-D poured. Andor keeps quiet as he struggles to make sense of why the hand he was dealt with so bad. Because you made the wrong choice, buddy.
Yep.
It would be worse if he was out of prison as two different parties are out for his head. Finally, Cyril gets picked up by... Oh, I just had a thought. Prison break, but that will have something to do with that damn floor, you know?
Oh, absolutely it will.
Except the good guys will have the shoes on this time.
Yeah.
Finally, Cyril gets picked up by Deidre, and they have the most intense meet-cute under interrogation. Wow. Which part of that was cute?
Yeah. None of it.
Yeah, they're so obnoxiously severe at each other. It's kind of perfect. As Deidre admits, Cyril has engaged the curiosity of the ISB. She can see he's out for revenge and to clear his name, but tests his dedication to the Empire. He tells her information she didn't know, which was that he was forced to sign a false report, and he doesn't even know how much of his account of the events in Ferrix made it. And Deidre provides him with it to read over so he can gather more intel. I give credit to Deidre for at least realizing that much.
Right.
But then she stubbornly shuts him off. I mean, use him as an asset or cannon fodder. Send him out there. Anyway, it's coming. Convinced that Karn has some more vital information that was withheld, Major Partagatz and Deidre present the possibility that the Rebellion has developed a pattern for acquiring specialized Imperial gear to help their efforts with the help of an unknown central figure that they're calling Axis, and who we know as Luthen. They think it's troubling, keyword trouble, as the meaning of the word gets examined throughout the episode. Good trouble or bad trouble? Yeah, it turns out the Starpath unit Andor didn't want to leave behind, but was given to them enough lead to figure out that he's delivering it to Axis. So they want to track Andor down for interrogation to identify them. Now it makes sense why Clea ordered Bell to kill Cassian to protect Luthen's identity before he could be captured. I was doing some reading on this episode, Steve, and I think somebody said, oh, so it was Luthen's idea to kill Andor? Did you get that? I didn't get that.
Yeah, well, I don't know why Clea would have told Bell to do that.
Clea's more hardcore than I think Luthen is.
Yes, absolutely.
I know she likes to look out for Luthen. To me, I saw nothing definitive. So Luthen said, yeah, you better kill him off. He just keeps saying, why did I trust him?
Right.
That's all I got. Meanwhile, Andor arrives at the prison, greeted by officers in a giant orange soles on their military boots. The shots go out of the way to show these unique kicks, to the point where you're shouting, what the heck are those and where can I get some? You note that all the prisoners have to stand barefoot in this pristine prison that they're told is just an Imperial factory where they'll serve their sentences in decent conditions. Yep, you get a tube in the wall.
Yep.
So as long as you keep in line or else they will be humanely punished by the tungstoid steel flooring that fries their nerves. So the shoes which Andor clock clearly protects the guards. Ding, ding.
Yep.
He's escorted to his factory line by his fellow inmate Kino Loy with Andy Serkis looking as mean as usual. Not as usual, but boy, can he do it.
Yes, he can.
He's the head of the section. In a few words and a demonstration, he sees the least productive table gets punished for being fried. Here we get Andor not saying much as he observes the way wheels turn to hopefully find a weakness.
Yeah, he was definitely eyeing everything.
Yeah, that's his superpower.
Yep. Back in the very sub and Dom interrogation between Cyril and Deidre, they go over the details and bond over the criminal negligence of commanding officers.
You can call that bonding. But he knows it.
Deidre asks him to recall what the man he saw with Andor looked like, and poor Cyril only blurts out colors, which does not please Deidre. As she decides to let him be on his way, he stammers that he could recognize Axis's voice if he heard it again. It's almost as if he stopped short of calling Deidre mommy, because the way she handles him definitely brings something up for Cyril.
I don't know if that's creepy or not.
Yeah, Solier and Go have a chemistry that's simply seething through their exchange in a real messed up way that makes sense. As he's dismissed, exclaiming that he was a good deputy inspector and solved the murder in 2 days.
If anything would creep out Deidre, that would probably be it.
Yeah, he even offers himself as an asset to her, and Deidre declines. It's a definite vibe between the two, and I hate that it's hard to look away. Things get switched up when we pick up on Mon Mothma having rich people problems on Coruscant, but that's the point. She and her prop husband are hosting another soiree where Mon is hoping to court fellow politicians to stall the Emperor's overreach by gaining votes. Tay comes up and they share a quick moment where he relays that Imperial auditors are onto the banks because of new regulations, but he's got her back in regards to her recent withdrawal.
Uh-oh, time to start worrying about that guy?
Yeah, their talk gets cut short as Mon has to press other members of the Senate for help as they express how they feel about Palpatine. Some say he's overactive, yes, but also that he says what he means, to which Mon counters, what does he mean?
Yeah.
It really strikes a nerve to see Palpatine's demagogue leadership and those quick to defend it beginning to show their true face. Rhetoric abounds around PORD policies being normalized so long as no one is doing anything wrong.
Then they find something wrong, though.
Yeah, why would it be a concern to those not getting into trouble? Mon wonders what the definition of wrong entails.
Right.
Yeah, wrong like being a tourist at the wrong place at the wrong time? Yeah, that counts. Back in prison, Andor is asked about PORD by his inmates who are frustrated at seeing their sentences increase because of what happened on Aldani. Sentiments toward the rebels lean toward feeling as if they're paying for it. Andor continues to avoid any awareness, and those around him argue amongst themselves to express disagreements about the cause, time they're in for, and one of them says it doesn't matter. They're there as long as they're useful, for as long as they live.
Yikes.
Yeah. After 30 shifts, Andor learns to get used to hell better than one he'd been in outside. On Ferrix, Bix visits Marva, who has been boldly watching the stormtroopers, looking for a way to act like a rebel in her movement. As much as Bix tries to discourage her, Marva has her mindset as the Imperial presence increases around them. With Andor gone, Marva has nothing to lose, no matter if she has no idea that two opposing sides are about to zero in on them in their search for him. Bell, we find out, is on Ferrix with Cinta, who tells her lover to leave, or they'll draw too much attention. It's the right thing to do, despite Bell just wanting to be with Cinta, but for Cinta, the cause comes first.
That's why you love her, Bell.
Yeah.
That's why you love her, Bell. She's your mirror. Yeah. Tells you what you want to see. You should see her here.
Yeah, tells Bell she'll stay and assume the role of a rich girl running away from her family, which is a dig at the classy Bell, who we saw on Coruscant blending in very well. Cinta points out, you love me because I show you what you need to see. Ally can be in love with the cause, but not fully understand it as deeply as those most impacted by the necessity of a rebellion, which will always come first. Where Bell will stand still remains to be seen. And oh, by the way, where's that Kyber?
She's keeping it up her sleeve like an ace.
Yeah. Hoping to get a hold of Andor to help Marva, Bix attempts to send out a comm to Luthen, but is shut down. Playa cuts all communication from Ferrix for him. Vulnerability is inevitable, she tells him, as they're in too deep.
Oh, I'm now going to start worrying about her, even though I don't like her that much.
And I think that right there kind of says, yeah, she will override anything he says, so I get a feeling that, yeah, she's the one who decided Andor, you know, Cassian's got to get eliminated. Honestly, there's something about how little we know about Playa that really creates unease. That's an understatement. Luthen takes off to Segra Milo. It becomes harder to root for Luthen and Playa as we see characters we care about being treated as discarded pawns. Andor suffers in the prison while he witnesses someone unalive themselves overnight, a body fried in the row of his cell. And we witness Bix being taken by officers soon after she sends out the comm. Meanwhile, on Segura, Milo Luthen meets Saw, played by Forrest Whitaker, and they banter about which of the two were behind the Aldani heist.
Even these guys should be at, like, all they do is argue with each other.
Yes, they do. Saw wants to know why he's there, what he brought, and why. Luthen offers him 3 sealed steer guard targeting deflectors if he meets with Anto Krieger, someone who has been probing the Imperial power station at Spellhaus and has found a weakness in the defenses. Saw's going to Saw, and he calls this man a whole ox. Slow and stupid, and insists he works alone.
I don't see Saw winning any races himself.
No. Luthen says they need to pull together.
Yep.
Luthen calls the Empire getting angry and coming down hard a necessary evil they need. Oppression breeds rebellion. Whitaker plays it close to the chest of Saw, immovable as Luthen attempts to persuade him to think of Spellhaus in flames, something neither can accomplish on their own, but together stand a chance. Saw's issue is that Krieger is a separatist and rattles off splinters who are lost to him in his mind.
He doesn't make many friends, does he?
No, he doesn't. Point blank, he asks Luthen what he is, to which, in full Skarsgård total shift, Luthen's businessman facade falls as he says he's a coward afraid of the Empire's power has grown beyond the point where they can do anything to stop it. He's there to try to get all the sides to put aside petty differences or they'll all die with nothing. Thaw affirms that he has clarity of purpose, and while Luthen concedes that anarchy is a seductive concept, it's a no from Shaw. Meanwhile, as the consequences play out, we see the price being paid. Vix gets strapped to a chair as Deidre prepares to torture her, and Andor is stuck in prison, meant to exploit his body for labor until he drops. All for a greater cause that can't find its footing as things get worse enough to radicalize more people. It's a heavy episode that really emphasizes that the only thorough enough suffering will any action continue. When they come for everyone to tighten their grip, only then will a rebellion mobilize as one or die to fight it.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So they allowed her to see the guy in the torture room too, Bix, that is. Right? That's the guy that was missing. Yeah. Is that her friend that allows her to use the phone in the back, or is that somebody else?
I think it was the friend.
Yeah. I'm on IMDb right now trying to find his name. And of course, right. I can't find it. Go up, I go down. Where is his name? I don't know. Anyway, Easter eggs. Episode 8 gives a nod to the planet Belsavis. Well, how about that? Episode 8 opens with the prisoners being sent to different internment camps. It's interesting to note that the prisoners are divided according to homeworld. That was weird. With specific camps serving with different sectors. This means the whole, even the labor camps are segregated. Suppose they did that because so you can get along with people of your own planet and work hard or closer team?
I think so.
Yeah. The basic Star Wars galaxy mass hasn't changed much over the decade, with sectors remaining the same. So it's no surprise to spot a familiar name at this point. One prisoner is sent to Belsavis, a planet with a rich history in the old Star Wars expanded universe. There, the barren ice world was a prison planet for the Rakatan Infinite Empire millennia ago. And it hasn't changed. Belsavis has already been name-dropped a few times in the Disney era. Cassian Andor, however, is taken to an Imperial labor camp on Narkeena V. The design of the camp feels like a homage to George Lucas's THX-1138. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't.
It's weird. Yeah, I saw it a couple times, I think. But the most, you can see he was working towards larger ideas with that. Right. Maybe Star Wars fans should see it. But the most striking detail is the fact that the floors are made of the ultra-conductive tungstoid steel. This is a deep-cut Star Wars Easter egg from the old Star Wars expanding universe. Tungstoid steel notably appeared in Troy Denning's novel Fate of the Jedi, Abyss, which revealed it was so tough that the blast doors made of tungstoid steel could deter the Jedi. Or maybe even Jenny's ring, now that she's Stargo reference, everybody. Cassian Andor's work gang is led by another familiar face, with Andy Serkis making his return to Star Wars. Serkis is the most famous for his work as a CGI body double playing Gollum in Lord of the Rings and Supreme Leader Snoke in the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Do you suppose these guys asked to come back, or they get asked and they're like, hell yeah?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah?
You ask back and you're like, oh, hell yes.
Yes, there have been long-running rumors of Serkis' return to Andor, leading to some unlikely fan theory Snoke himself would make an appearance. And the truth is rather prosaic. He's playing a completely different character, but still welcome.
Yep.
Here's another East egg. Mon Mothma became a senator at 16, paralleling other Star Wars politicians. Wow. Andor is fleshing out the character of rebel leader Mon Mothma, or as somebody one said on Twitter, Mom Mothma.
Yeah.
Episode 8 reveals she became a senator at the age of just 16. This parallels other major Star Wars politicians, such as Padme, elected Queen of Naboo at just 14, and Leia Organa. In Star Wars, the young appear to be encouraged to get involved in politics at the highest level, although younger senators seem to be rare during the Imperial era, given Leia was the youngest Imperial senator ever elected at age 18. Mon Mothma was previously been confirmed as a leader of the Separatist coalition within the Senate, meaning she aligns with the former Separatist world from the Mid and Outer Rim. It is unsurprising, then, to see a number of aliens as guests at her party. Always welcome, too. If you can't go to a cantina, go to a party.
Yes.
Attentive viewers will recognize Anabonido, a native of the colonies' world that would become a supporter of the Rebel Alliance. It's good to see Forrest Whitaker. Oh, is it good to see Forrest Whitaker again? Yeah. Forrest Whitaker reprises his role of Saw Gerrera in Episode 8. Yeah, one of the most brutal and destructive Rebel leaders. I bet he left it the chance of coming back, too. I think he likes playing that character.
Oh, absolutely.
He really gets into it. Already a maverick. Saw scorns the idea of working with other rebel cells, a trait that can still be seen in Rogue One, a Star Wars story, where the Rebel Alliance needs to use its past connections with Jyn Erso to get him to listen to him. So references a number. You know, Jyn Erso should be around like 16, I think I read somewhere, around right. this time. I wonder if we're going to get a Jyn Erso cameo. Would that be too distracting, perhaps?
I'd have to read. Maybe somebody in the Rebel will hack in and actually do what
guys
should be doing as far as scanning pictures and find Andor, and maybe he gets involved with the breakout.
What a concept that would be, right?
Yeah.
It's like law enforcement or Imperial Enforcement 101.
Yes.
Saw references a number of other rebel groups. He's clearly unable to forget his experience during the Clone Wars, speaking with particular venom as he name drops groups who call themselves separatists. Saw's most interesting reference, though, is the group called the Human Cultists. Saw Gerrera and his partisans welcome members from every race in the galaxy, but this particular name hints that other rebel groups organize themselves according to race. This does make sense given the initial cells were planet or sector specific, and the Empire discouraged members of different races from mixing. Like, local cells probably don't even know who they could trust when they were looked upon in their own system. The Rebel Alliance was an attempt to change this by bringing together local cells from across the galaxy into a unified group, hence the name Rebel Alliance. Literally an alliance of disparate rebel groups. Makes more sense to me, Steve.
Yep.
Most viewers will recognize Saw Gerrera from Rogue One, a Star Wars story, but Saw is increasingly important to Star Wars. The character has appeared in a wide range of medium, from live action to animation, and several tie-ins as novels as well. He's not only a recognizable partisan on Sigma Milo, when Luthen visits the planet. Either two of his key agents, Melshi or Tutu, can be seen as well. Amazing, huh? Everyone's like crazy over Melshi. Yep. Clearly, the partisans become an important part in Andor's ongoing story. Star Wars story. Perhaps the Cassian Andor himself will start working with them in time. Yeah, you think?
It's a possible.
It's like Apollo 13 or... Or the Titanic, you know, it's going to happen. You can't wait to see it. Well, unless you like sailing ships. That didn't turn out too well. So let's do some ratings. Did you get a rating for this one, Steve?
Yeah, I gave it 4 out of 5, Returns of Saw Gerrera.
Yeah, wow. I get 3.5 out of 5 group showers.
Yeah.
I endorse that, but I'm like, ah, boy, here we go. Group showers. Yeah. Scene.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contactus@fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast with good ratings and reviews. It helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Star Wars podcasts out there. It's a big galaxy. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts,
which you can find at www.fangirlzone.com. Check out all our wonderful podcasts there. Marvel Fan, we have the Marvelous Post Blip podcast. Star Trek, check out the Captain's Chair, and all our other Sci-Fi Channel podcasts. Want to get a hold of us? Check out the podcast link on the homepage. Click it, and you'll find all the different ways you can reach out to us on social media. So for this episode of the Mudhorn Cladcast, I'm Steve. Raise the alarm one more time, and it won't be me you're speaking to.
And this is Beskar Dave. When Keanu Loy said, "Get busy or get fried," I ran and got my bong. Boy, was I wrong. No shoes for you.
Yeah.